Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I have to tell you, I'm Laura, this is Marty, and she's hangry. So we
No, I'm good. It's not dinner time yet at my house.
Some people eat on different schedules than other people. That's just a fact.
Indeed.
Okay. So last week, you guys, we talked about food allergies. We're on this kind of allergy conversation that we've been having. And we promised you that this week we were going to get to different types of like seasonal allergies and some new allergy medications that have just come on the market. And so we're pretty excited about this topic. I think this is something that's going to be super helpful for a lot of our listeners. So how you doing, Marty?
I'm great. Great.
You had a great day. You solved technical problems and technological problems, and it was great.
Yes, and financial problems, and oh, I had a fabulous family trip. So
yes, you saw the Black Hills and the Mount Rushmore and all the things. Very cool.
Crazy Horse and all the.
I love Crazy Horse. That's one of my very, very favorite places that I went to when I was a kid.
It was
monument.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Okay. Well, from the Crazy Horse Monument to the crazy meds that we have available in our allergies and our pets. Okay. How's that for a segue, y'all? So talk to us about some of the more seasonal allergies, whether they're contact or otherwise, that we can see in our pets.
So seasonal allergies are a big deal. They, of course, happen seasonally. And some dogs will start off with maybe a mild seasonal allergy when they're over a year old, and then progressively they get worse. Most dogs with seasonal allergies do not start with allergies until at least their second season.
Right.
So that means they have to be over a year old to have experienced a spring, summer, fall, whatever it happens to be. In Wisconsin, we don't have seasonal allergies in the winter, but there are parts of the country that do. So there's definitely differences. So until the second season, a pet probably doesn't have allergies to pollens and molds, but they can have food allergies when they're younger. So if your pet So if your pet started off with really a young age with allergies, it's most likely a food allergy. The cool thing about seasonal allergies is that they're seasonal. So if you have a dog that has allergies that come and go, very likely it's not an exclusive food allergy. It may have a component of food allergy, but it's mostly going to be seasonal allergies, which are molds and pollens. And there may be some component of contact allergy with that, because when they walk through the grass, some of that contact may have a role as well.
Okay.
So seasonal allergies are going to be typically spring and fall in the Wisconsin areas. A lot of the temperate climates are going to be a little bit longer of a season. So it depends on where you live, and it depends on what your dog's allergic to. If your dog has allergies the third week of March and the fourth week of August, your dog's going to have allergies the third week of March and the fourth week of August every year within a few days of that, because of the seasonality of whatever's blooming, pollinating, molding, whatever. So those are kind of important things. So if you know that your dog is going to have a problem in the third week of March, you get your dog's medications the second week of March, and you don't wait until it's already blowing up.
Week of March, just in case, you know?
Yeah. It's going to happen. So once you kind of figure it out, the schedule is pretty consistent because of phenology. Did you know there's a term called phenology?
Phenology, not phenotype.
P-H-E-N. No, yeah. Phenology. So it has to do with the time of year. Like, what day did you see the first robin? What day did you see the first mosquito? That's phenology. So I think that's an interesting
That's a great term. Word. I love that. Yeah. New words are my favorite thing basically ever. I love new words.
Yeah, well, you're a journalist. You love the language, so that's okay.
Yes.
So I think it's important that people understand the difference between some of these allergies, so that they understand that if their dog is having a lot of problems in the wintertime and they live in Wisconsin, it's probably not seasonal allergies. It's probably related to house dust, mites, or something in the house. If it's seasonal, that it's like the worst season time that we see in Wisconsin is late August and early September when the ragweed and goldenrod is out. So, you know, you start to figure out that there are certain times that this is a problem. And so there are certain things you can do to minimize your dog's exposure. Okay. You can be more careful at the time of day that you take them out. You can spend less time outside, turn your air conditioner on. Bathing can be very helpful. A normal dog should not be bathed frequently, but an allergic dog can be bathed as often as every week without overdoing it. So there's definitely some things here that people need to be aware of when they're trying to manage their dog's allergies. It's not just about pills and injections. There are certain other things that you can do to manage. I have one client that had a bulldog that was highly allergic to grass and those kinds of pollens. So she pulled out the grass in the part of the yard that the dog went into, put in AstroTurf, and the dog's allergies were much better. So we've talked a little bit before about the blood tests and the saliva tests and some of these tests for allergies. And the same thing holds for seasonal allergies as holds for food allergies. There aren't good tests for this. Really, the only thing that's a good test for seasonal allergies is going to be a skin test where you go see a dermatologist right. and they shave a patch of hair off of your dog, like this big. And then they go
that
along
big?
And they
get, I thought it was like this big.
Oh, no, they'll shave the whole side of the dog. And then they put a series of injections under the dog's skin. They do this with people. I remember my sisters having this done when they were young because my sisters had pretty bad allergies. And they would put a little tiny bleb of an injection of each different kinds of thing that your dog could be allergic to in this little grid pattern. And then they go back. So they do one injection of saline, which your dog shouldn't react to. They do one right. injection of histamine, which your dog should react to and give a little welt or a little wheal. And then all the other 47 things that they inject are different pollens or molds, extracts that they use to test if the dog's allergic. That's the way that dermatologists truly can determine what your dog's allergic to.
Right.
And if they figure that out, then they can hyposensitize, give them allergy injections that reduce their sensitivity because they start with a teeny little bit and then they gradually increase it until your body says, oh, I'm good. I'm not allergic to this anymore. So that's hyposensitization. Those are the allergy shots that are really pretty effective about 70% of the time for 70% of the dogs.
Okay.
So that's what a true allergy shot would be. Mm-hmm. However, now we have on the market for probably the last 8 years or so, we have Cytopoint, which is a monoclonal A antibody for dogs,
right?
Which is also an injection, but it's not an allergy shot. You're not hyposensitizing the dog to what they're allergic to. It just blocks the allergic reaction that the dog is having. So that injection is a monoclonal A antibody specific to the dog. It doesn't work in humans. It doesn't work in cats. It's only the dog. And those injections are typically given every 3 to 5 weeks, depending on how the dog responds. And that will significantly reduce the allergic reaction that many dogs, but not all dogs, have to the pollens and molds, the seasonal allergies. So that's Cytopoint.
Okay.
Really cool product, really cool drug specific to the dog. And then we have this whole class of drugs that are JAK1 and JAK3 inhibitors. JAK is the short word for this allergic response.
Okay.
And the first product that came to market with this for this product was called Apoquel. It's made by Zoetis, so it's Apoquel. It came out on the market 10, maybe 11 years ago, and this year they introduced it in a chewable form because there are other JAK inhibitors that have come to market, and they're trying to keep market share, so they brought a chewable out. And of course, if your dog's allergic to certain chewables, then you have to be aware that it's probably going to be okay on the Apoquel because it's made to be a hypoallergenic product. Mm-hmm. So Apoquel came to market 10 or 11 years ago. Great product for about 60% of the dogs. Then about 2 years ago, Zenrelia came to market. So we went from the A drug to Z drug. So we went from Apoquel to Zenrelia, made by Elanco.
Well, I know Apoquel, and I've heard the whole conversation about the other ones. This one I have not heard about. So tell me more about the Z drug.
The Z one, Zenrelia, came to market 2 or 3 years ago. The problem with Zenrelia is during the clinical trials, they determined that there were some complications with the patients that were on the drug. So there is now a black box warning that says you cannot vaccinate the dog within 30 days of the time the dog's on Zenrelia. So that was sort of like a pretty big downturn for a lot of people saying, well, what am I going to do? Just vaccinate the dog in the wintertime and take them off when they don't have many seasonal allergies? How do we deal with this? So it was pretty clear from the beginning that this drug was going to have some issues. But we have dermatologists around us that are using it, and they've been successful with it. So It's just that we have to not vaccinate the dogs. I had a dog that came in last week that sees a dermatologist. They came in the door to get their vaccines, and we went through the whole history and said, oh my gosh, your dog's on Zenrelia. My technician came out of the room and went, womp, womp, womp. No vaccination today for this dog.
Any vaccination of any kind.
Any. That's what the black box warning currently says, and that's FDA's absolute hardcore don't cross this line situation. It's not, we don't think you should. It's do not do this. So, big problem. So then this year, we had Numelvi come to market, and it sounds very similar to a human drug. And what's really interesting...
Say, wait a minute. That's...
I know. But there's a lot of JAK1 and JAK3 inhibitors on the market for people. There's a lot of diseases that people have that are autoimmune. We're seeing a lot of these IL-31s and all these other things, and I need to sit down someday. I started a chart, and then I kind of got off on another topic. But I'm trying to understand, because there's so many of these human drugs that you see advertisements for on TV, and we're seeing the same thing in the dogs, is we have this new drug now. It's called Numelvi. And it has turned out to be probably what's going to take out Zenrelia. I would predict that Zenrelia is going to probably not have very good success because we have
like a beta tape instead of a VHS.
Correct. Yeah, beta was always better than VHS, but VHS did a better job marketing, so beta went away. So I think we're going to see Numelvi do a pretty good job. Now, their ad is amazingly funny. It's called Resting Itch Face, not Bitch Face. So it's Resting Itch Face. It's this little French bulldog with this little crinkly face, and it's so funny. So
that is hysterical. I'll have to find it.
Yeah,
too
so
much.
If you Google Resting Itch Face, you will see this little Frenchie with a little wrinkly nose. So that's the newest.
I'm making a note.
So this one is a second generation JAK inhibitor. So it's
got it.
Probably going to get about 10% more dogs. We're probably going to see more like 70 to 75% of the dogs react well to it. I have a client that I put on it, and she sent me a message after the first day, and she said, this drug is amazing. Instantly, within 45 minutes, the dog stopped licking, biting, scratching, chewing, all the stuff. And it lasted him 23 and a half hours. I gave the second dose. Within 45 minutes, he reacted that well again. So this drug is pretty good stuff. And I think we need to pay attention to it. So if you've had a dog on Cytopoint or Apoquel and you've been sort of non-impressed, you probably will see a better response with Numelvi. If you've got a dog on Zenrelia, make sure that your veterinarian knows that your dog is on Zenrelia and does not give a vaccine at the same time. So those are some of the basic tips for it. But I think Numelvi is going to turn out to be a pretty important addition to the protocols that we can use. And it costs a little bit less than Apoquel and Zenrelia. It's going to be probably more effective for maybe 10 or 15% more of the dogs. And it's got a cute ad called Resting Itch Face. So how can you go wrong?
Out of that?
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible health verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
Okay, you guys. Dog breeding is more than a hobby. At its best, it's an all-consuming quest to create something lasting and beautiful in the world. We are super excited to announce that the groundbreaking series Pedigrees to Pups is now streaming live on Doggett. Dr. Marty Greer and I teamed up to offer a complete 360-degree mentoring experience. We're blending advanced reproductive science with that intuitive breeder's eye. You can stream the series today on your Doggett app. If you're unsure, visit puredogtalk.com to get connected. You can answer the call to pursue that one impossible thing, the chance to preserve, protect, and improve something that truly matters. On the seasonal allergy and sort of contact allergy, talk to us about what is actually Like, these meds are blocking a thing, a histamine reaction. Am I understanding that correctly?
Right. That's what the JAK1 and JAK3s are. That's how your body is reacting to these allergens. And a normal dog, a normal human won't react to those, but dogs or humans that have allergies are going to react with these pathways. And these are all pathways that were discovered more recently than when I went to veterinary school. So they're pretty much new and kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, back in the day I went to school, we used to have prednisone, right?
Right.
And I still put, yeah, it's all we had. Well, we had antihistamines like Benadryl, mm-hmm. and we had prednisone. And antihistamines don't work really well in most dogs because they're just not the pathway that works particularly well. So it doesn't hurt to give them if you're careful and you speak to your veterinarian about the dose, but they may not be as effective as you're hoping them for. And there's still a fair number of dogs I'll put on prednisone. And there's nothing wrong with prednisone given at the right dose, at a low anti-inflammatory dose given on an alternate every other day basis. It can be pretty effective. Some of these newer meds, of course, are expensive. Prednisone is dirt cheap. Dogs do drink more and urinate more when they're on prednisone. So for some patients, they react very seriously at a tiny dose, and other dogs can take big doses and they do just fine with it. But if it's the end of the season, like it's 3 weeks until we get a hard frost, I'm not going to put your dog on Apoquel or Zenrelia or Numelvi because we're so close to the end of the season. I'm just going to give you enough pred to get you through until we get a hard frost, which is typically around the end of October. And then next season, we will revisit it if it starts up earlier in the season or it looks like you're going to need a longer course of medication. Mm-hmm. Or if you flat out just look at me and say, I can't afford these drugs, there's still value in using prednisone. Now, giving the long-acting steroid injections, which what we used to call were allergy shots, mm-hmm. those are pretty dangerous. We try really hard to avoid those because we can see diabetes and a lot of other issues that are developed from this long-acting steroid injection. We can see Addison's disease. We can see all kinds of stuff. So we try not to use those long-acting allergy shots, which are steroid injections. Mm-hmm. But the Cytopoint is fine. And then these newer meds are great if you have a small dog and you can afford it. If you come in with a 240-pound dog and you're living on a Social Security check, we're probably going to have to pull up pred, but it's better to do pred than it is to watch your dog be miserable because their allergies are bad. So I don't want anybody to feel guilty if they can't afford these meds because they are new and they are expensive. And this is another really good reason to have those pet insurance patients because then you don't have to ask how much is that new medication going to cost me.
Mm-hmm. So the reaction that our pets are having, it's to dust or mites or grass or leaves or mold or whatever it's to. And their body is saying, blah, 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 right?
Right.
The medication shuts that down. You talked about bathing. Talk to us about additional things that people can do during when it's like high season or in different parts of the country. Like sure. My mom had hay fever, and every year when this scotch broom was blooming, it was like she was going to die, right? Same basic concept.
Right.
What are some of those things besides
bathing? Bathing helps. And this is something that people often don't know for themselves is if they do have allergies, it's recommended by allergists that you wash your hair before you go to bed at night because mm-hmm. the oils of your hair will capture the pollen. And then when you roll back and forth on your pillow, you've just rubbed your nose in all the pollen on the pillow. So if you're not bathing your hair, if you're not washing your hair before you go to bed at night, that can make a big difference if you have an allergy. Yes, you have something to say.
No, you just blew my brain up. I had never heard that.
Yep. So it's the same principle for the dog as if you bathe them, then you're removing the pollens that they're actually in contact with. And Hills did a study a number of years ago where they did a pretty eloquent study, Hills, the pet food company, and they determined that a certain component of what we always assumed were inhaled allergens were probably also contact allergies to the grass. And like in Wisconsin, we have at the end of the season when the leaves have blown up around the corners of the bushes and the corners of your house and all those things, and you haven't really effectively gone out and raked them. You know that lovely fall smell?
No,
that's mold. That's mold. I'm going to ruin it for you now. Yeah.
So wrong.
So if you have mold allergies, some of those dogs, even a hard frost may not be enough until we get an actual snow cover to cover the molds in those leafy areas. It may not be enough for your dog. So if you're feeling frustrated that the dog's allergies seem to be going past the hard frost until we get a snow cover, that might be what's going on.
And is that something where pet owners can do a good job raking their leaves, for example, or, you know, mm-hmm. using a leaf blower or mm-hmm. whatever.
Right. So anything you can do to reduce the allergens. So bathing them, you know, don't let your dog go out and jump in a pile of leaves with your kids when you rake them up in the fall. A lot of times the weather report will have pollen counts on it. So if you see the pollen count is going to go up or it's already up and you are feeling the effects of hay fever, keep the air conditioner on, keep the windows closed, do some of those things just to reduce the exposure of your dog. And, you know, take them out for brief periods of time, long enough to get a little exercise, keep them probably off the grass, keep them out of certain areas. Don't let them run in a field where there's goldenrod and ragweed pollinating. You know, you stand there and you look at it and you're like, yeah, probably not a good choice for the dog. So try to be thoughtful about it, just like you would for yourself. Now, you know, you really can't put a mask on the dog so that they don't inhale this stuff. But some of it's a contact allergy anyway. Like I said, the bulldog that had the artificial turf did really well because he wasn't touching his feet in the grass anymore. So these are sort of some hints for you can talk to your veterinarian about. There are veterinary dermatologists that are very, very skilled at managing some of these patients. And they have done studies and it says if you go to the veterinarian and it's a pet owner and you go in three times and they haven't fixed your dog's allergy problem, you're going to switch vets. Well, the problem with allergies is we can't cure them. We can manage them. We can help your dog be more comfortable. And we're mostly talking about dogs because most cats don't have these kinds of problems. But don't get frustrated with your veterinarian. If they want to start you on something like prednisone because it's not expensive and they want to move you on to something else, just realize it is really trial and error. If you go to an allergist yourself, what do? They send you home with a little bag of samples and they go, try these different medications and see which one gives you the best relief and the fewest side effects. So don't give up on your veterinarian because they're probably one drug away from getting the perfect solution for you. And then you just walked out the door and you go to somebody new that has to start the whole thing over. And if you're really frustrated, please see a dermatologist. Please find a veterinary dermatologist. We were traveling in New Zealand this spring. We were driving on the road and there was this brown building and on the roof it says skin vet. I'm like, wow, like like this was a,
I mean, a, the whole room that I'm just saying that's got a whole like,
it was pretty funny because it was the biggest sign I've ever seen at a vet clinic. Like, well, these people must have a lot of allergy problems here in New Zealand. So, okay. More.
Well, I can believe it. Tropical. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And I know that, you know, if you're having allergies with your pet now, there's not much you can do about it, but talk to us a little bit for folks that are considering acquiring a new pet, both cat or dog. Allergies all are hereditary. So what are some things that when you are acquiring your new pet, you can talk to your breeder about and say, hey, you know, have you ever, right? Like, is this a thing? So talk to us a little bit through that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of discussion about this on the Theriogenology listserv because a lot of French bulldogs have allergies. And so people are putting the Frenchies, as they are getting ready to breed them, they're putting them on Apoquel or Zenrelia or New Malvi. And the question is it safe to have that dog on allergy medications while she's pregnant? Well, the question is, should you be breeding this dog if she has to be on allergy medications?
Right.
Don't you think that's a bad idea? Because there's definitely a genetic component to it. The problem is, like a lot of these other disorders, we don't have a DNA test for it. Mm-hmm. So you should speak to your veterinarian. You should look up the breeds that tend to have a lot of allergies. And if you are reluctant to deal with something that has to be chronically managed, then think about it. We know there are certain breeds, West Island White Terriers, a lot of the white dogs tend to have more allergies. So just be aware that there are certain breeds that have a lot of problems. And oftentimes when we have someone that comes in and says, I want to get a new dog, but I don't want it to have the same disease my last dog had, XYZ disease. Right. I don't want to deal with this again. That's a legitimate thing to think through before you make a decision on a dog. So look up the breed, look up the information about it, talk to your breeder, and see if this is a real legit thing. Now, there's no guarantee, but
there's no breeding on anything with anything.
No,
but I'm just saying.
But don't breed a dog that you know has allergies to another dog that you know has allergies. So, you know, simply avoid it.
And as a buyer, consider asking the person that you're acquiring your pet from if they have struggled with allergies.
Right. Many years ago, I had a little West Highland White Terrier came to the practice. His name was Harry, and he wasn't. He was bald. Oh, my God, he was bald. And he came in. He lived in Texas. It was the first time I ever saw him. They came into the vet clinic. I remember this so clearly. And they said, oh my gosh, he's got terrible itching, scratching. He's just really miserable. He had no hair on his face. He was this really kind of homely little creature because of all the things that he had going on with his skin. And I did a skin scraping and I found scabies mites. And they came back in the room and I said, oh my gosh, this is such good news. I have found scabies mites. We can get rid of the mites. Now, I don't think it's going to cure his whole problem. I think he's probably still going to have allergies, but at least we can make him a lot more comfortable if we get rid of the mites. Lo and behold, that was the only thing that was wrong with him. He was a little white West Highland Terrier that had lived in Texas. The assumption was it was allergies. And guess what? It wasn't. Well, now that we have Brevecto, Simparica, Credelio, and NexGard, we aren't going to see the number of dogs with mites anymore because those products are killing mites. So my question to the general veterinary population is, okay, we know scabies is contagious, but we know Demodex is inherited. That's a different kind of mite. So are we going to accidentally, inadvertently breed dogs with Demodex, not knowing it, because these dogs are on medication? And if we move away from that class of drugs down the road because we find a better drug class, are we going to have mites come back in full force in dogs that had Demodex bred to another dog that had Demodex and we didn't know it, and now we have this problem? Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting question that no one has an answer to. When I've asked dermatologists, they're like, don't know.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So quick follow-up, cats seem to have fewer allergies than dogs, or am I just imagining that?
Nope, that's absolutely true. Cats very seldom have allergies. So that's good news. And if your cat is chewing, licking, biting at their feet, it is typically not allergies like it is in dogs. Dogs' symptoms of allergies oftentimes are going to be patches of hair loss, itchy, scratchy, uncomfortable, ear infections, all kinds of stuff going on. But cats, if they chew and lick their feet, so these dogs come in with allergies. Their little feet are rust colored, especially if they're white dogs, because the components of saliva have porphyrins in it, and that will show up as that rust color. It's not blood on their feet, but it's kind of rusty looking. If a cat chews their feet, you need to have blood tests done to see if the cat has liver problems, because it's a completely different disorder in cats. So just be like really super aware that a cat that's licking and biting at their feet needs to see a veterinarian. Don't just say, oh, it's just an allergy. You need to get in and see your vet and get some lab work done and maybe an ultrasound of their liver. That's pretty important.
Wow. Like, you got to blow my brain up twice in one half an hour episode.
I have one more thing to blow up your brain about.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And maybe you've already noticed this, but if you watch the commercials on TV for all these new drugs that people have now for their autoimmune disease or cancer drugs, mostly autoimmune disease. So all these things, some of them are the weight loss drugs too. Any of these new pharmaceuticals, if you watch the commercials really carefully, you will see that people are wearing clothes that are the same color as the labels on the products. 100%. You've probably seen it. Snuggle does it with their blue shirts and blue sweaters with their blue fabric softener. But a lot of these drugs like Zyrtec, people will be out there in an orange and green shirt, and the label on the Zyrtec is orange and green. It's very interesting to me. And a lot of people haven't noticed it, because I'll say that to them and they'll be like, what? And then they start watching commercials. You could turn off the volume on the commercial and just watch the pictures I see it now. Yeah. So it's kind of
the communications degree had an advertising component. So I'm saying,
but you know, it's not really important that you know this, but it is kind of entertaining.
It's a fun little tidbit. For 100%. 100%.
So the next time you see the Wegovy commercial
Wegovy was the one I was thinking of, actually.
Yep. If next time you watch any of those, you're going to look at the clothing and the background it's a very strong message that they're sending. And we don't even know it's being sent to us because we're so tuned out.
No, it's 100%. The one where they dance. I can't think of the name of the drug, but they all dance around. Anyway. It's a thing. 100% a thing. I don't watch enough television.
There is.
So that's good. That's good news. Listen to more podcasts, people. That's what I have for you.
There you go. Awesome. So if your dog is having allergies, please see your veterinarian. Please do not be miserable. Please do not yell at your dog and then just have them go in the other room and continue to lick at their feet. If your dog has patches of hair loss, if they're uncomfortable, go see your vet, because there's so much we can do now that we couldn't do a few years ago. Go in. Please go in.
100%. All right. Thank you so much, Marty. Have yourself a great night. We will catch up next week with a new topic for everybody.
There you go.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Did you know that the Marty and Laura Show website has a special page just for young animal lovers? Whether your child is meeting their first pet or already dreaming of becoming a veterinarian, Kids Corner is a place to explore animals through creativity, curiosity, and age-appropriate learning. Designed for young animal lovers and their families, these resources encourage empathy, responsibility, and a lifelong love of pets. Start off with a free coloring page. That's right. A new coloring page is available regularly. Download one free and check back often for new designs. And if you love that free page, take your coloring adventure further with the 10-page Color Me Pets coloring pack for just $5. Each page is filled with adorable, breed-specific dogs and fun educational prompts that spark creativity and curiosity. This pack is perfect for kids who want to explore, who want to color, and who want to discover more about pets. It encourages careful observation, fine motor skills, and an appreciation for animals, all while providing hours of fun. Plus, it's an easy, printable download, perfect for rainy days, long car rides, or creative play at home. Artwork by award-winning artist Sandy Mesmer, the Color Me Canine Collection brings even more adorable pets and fun designs. Explore full coloring books available online through Sandy's shop link on our page. Visit martyandlauraShow.com/kids-corner to learn more. Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.